When we talk about violence, we must understand that we are speaking about a phenomenon in which it is almost impossible to predict the outcome. Even though the motivation on the part of the perpetrator of the act may be pure and positive, when violence is used as a means, it is very difficult to predict the consequences. For this reason, it is always better to avoid a situation that may require violent means. However, tolerance and patience do not imply submission or giving in to injustice. The person who has a tremendous reserve of patience and tolerance has a certain degree of tranquility and calmness in his or her life. Such a person is not only happy and more emotionally grounded, but also seems to be physically healthier and to experience less illness. The person possesses a strong will, has a good appetite, and can sleep with a clear conscience. If you help others with sincere motivation and sincere concern, that will bring you more fortune, more friends, more smiles, and more success. If you forget about others' rights and neglect others' welfare, ultimately you will be very lonely. From the perspective of the highest dimension of Buddhist practice, the unexcelled Yoga Tantra, there is no distinction between gender. Even in the final life in which you attain Buddhahood, there is no difference whether you are male or female. There is more concern for women in tantric practice in general. For example, one of the root transgressions is for a man to abuse or look down upon a woman. If a man does that, it is a disaster. There is no comparable transgression for a woman looking down on a man, so we men are jealous. It is not enough just to be compassionate. You must act. There are two aspects to action. One is to overcome the distortions and afflictions of your own mind, that is, in terms of calming and eventually dispelling your anger. This is action out of compassion. The other is more social, more public. When something needs to be done in the world to rectify the wrongs, if you are really concerned with benefiting others, you need to be engaged, involved. If one feels very profound compassion, this already implies an intimate connection with another person. It is said in our scriptures that we are to cultivate love just like that of a mother toward her only child. This is very intimate. The Buddhist notion of attachment is not what people in the West assume. We say that the love of a mother for her only child is free of attachment. From one point of view, we can say that we have human bodies and are practicing the Buddha's teachings and are thus much better than insects. But from another point of view, we can say that insects are very innocent and free from guile, whereas we often lie and misrepresent ourselves in devious ways in order to achieve our ends or better ourselves. From this perspective, we are much worse than insects, who just go about their business without pretending to be anything. Let us examine what the personal I, or the self, of things are. What is definite is that they do not exist independently of our body or mind. The way we naturally perceive ourselves, the sense of self arises as something like a solid, independent agent or subject which experiences and perceives. As with our personal self, each thing appears to our naive, natural mind as if it had an independent, solid, objective reality or status. However, what is very clear is that when we begin to search for them, our personal self and that of things disintegrate and disappear and are ultimately unfindable. We are all on this planet together. We are all brothers and sisters with the same physical and mental faculties, the same problems, and the same needs. We must all contribute to the fulfillment of the human potential and the improvement of the quality of life as much as we are able. Humankind is crying out for help. Ours is a desperate time. Those who have something to offer should come forward. Now is the time. If you know that someone is speaking badly of you behind your back, and if you react to that negativity with a feeling of hurt, then you destroy your own peace of mind. Your pain is your own creation. You should treat such things as if they are wind behind your ear. In other words, just brush them aside. To a large extent, whether or not you suffer pain depends on how you respond to a given situation. What makes a difference is whether or not you are too sensitive and take things too seriously. In most cases, the affirmation of the ego leads only to disappointment, or else to conflict with other egos just as exclusive as mine, especially when the strong development of the ego leads to whims and demands. The illusion of the permanent self secretes a danger that lies in wait for all of us. I want this, I want that. You might end up killing someone, as we all know well. The excess of egoism leads to uncontrollable perversions, which always end badly. But from another standpoint, a firm ego, sure of itself, can be a very positive element. You have to have real confidence in yourself. If I die in exile, and if the Tibetan people wish to continue the institution of the Dalai Lama, my reincarnation will not be born under Chinese control. With a love that is simply attachment, the slightest change in the object, such as a tiny change of attitude, immediately causes you to change. This is because your emotion is based on something very superficial. Take, for example, a new marriage. Often after a few weeks, months, or years, the couple become enemies and finish up getting divorced. They married deeply in love. Nobody marries with hatred. But after a short time, everything changed. Why? Some psychologists say that we should not repress anger but express it, that we should practice anger. Here we should make a distinction between mental problems that should and should not be expressed. Sometimes you may be truly wronged, and it is right for you to express your grievance instead of letting it fester inside you, but you should not express it with anger. If you go more deeply into your own spiritual practice, emphasizing wisdom and compassion, you will encounter the suffering of other sentient beings again and again, and you will have the capacity to acknowledge it, respond to it, and feel deep compassion rather than apathy or impotence. When contemplating suffering, do not fall into the feeling of self-importance or conceit. Cultivating wisdom helps us to avoid these pitfalls. But it is hard to generalize because each person's courage and forbearance are unique. Whoever excludes others will find himself excluded in turn. Those who affirm that their God is the only God are doing something dangerous and pernicious because they are on the way to imposing their beliefs on others by any means possible. There were once two monks, a teacher and his student. In order to give some encouragement to his student, the teacher said, "One day we will definitely go for a picnic." After a few days, it was forgotten. The student later reminded the teacher of his promise, but the teacher responded by saying that he was too busy to go for a picnic for a while. A long time passed. No picnic. When reminded again, the teacher said, "Not now, I am far too busy." So one day the student saw a dead body being carried off, and the teacher asked him, "What is happening?" And the student replied, "Well, that poor man is going on a picnic." So unless you make specific time for something that you feel committed to, you will always have other obligations. The essence of all spiritual life is your emotion, your attitude toward others. Once you have a pure and sincere motivation, all the rest follows. You can develop this right attitude toward others on the basis of kindness, love, and respect, and on the clear realization of your oneness with all human beings. For as long as space endures, and for as long as living beings remain, until then may I too abide to dispel the misery of the world.
You have been listening to The Path to Tranquility, a selection of readings by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. The readers were B.D. Wong, Laurie Anderson, and Robert Thurman, who also read the introduction. The recording engineers were Jocelyn Gonzalez, Leszek Wojcik, and Michael Jones. The directors were Karen Perlman and Karen Frillman. Editing and post-production by Michael Jones. The associate producer was Will Carlino, with production assistance from Jared Hunter. The Path to Tranquility was produced by Karen Frillman. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Also available from Simon & Schuster Audio, Ethics for a New Millennium by His Holiness the Dalai Lama with Alexander Norman, and The Art of Happiness by His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Howard Cutler.